Kathy. Okay, we're finishing up in December. Our whole theme for the whole month was hope, hope for all. And last week, it was for the Christmas service, it was hope arrived. Hope arrived in a solid way, embodied way, when God was born as Jesus, right? And Jesus came to his people. Hope arrived. And we're continuing. That was the start. Jesus came. Jesus lived. Jesus died. Jesus resurrected. Jesus is the Savior and who can live in our heart, in our life. And that generates hope for us. So Jesus coming as hope generates a life of hope for his followers, his believers. That's us, if you're a believer in Christ. So hope remains. There's still hope for us. Okay, so we're going to get into that this morning, and we have a reader. We're going to ask her to come up, introduce herself, her family, and do the reading for us.
Hi, this is my family. My name is Eunsun. My husband is Harsh. My son name is Kosin. Years back, while I was a language student, I met a woman who spoke to me about Christianity. At the time, I was an agnostic Buddhist who lost her way with faith. But as time passed, I started to go to the small church named the Church in Toronto, located near U of T in downtown Toronto. I'm blessed to be a part of this congregation of this church ever since.
Amen.
I read the Corinthians first. I pass on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Most of them are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. But as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man, Jesus. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruit, afterward, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he abolishes all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished is death. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. The last enemy is death. Death is not your friend. It's not my friend. Death, according to the Bible, is our enemy. Death is also, according to the Bible, in human experience, it is normal. However, it is not natural. God created the human race. God created us absent death. Death came in. Death is an interloper. Death is something came in later. And Jesus Christ came to abolish death, to do away with death, to overcome death, and bring in resurrection. That's part of our hope. Hope remains. And, you know, if you look in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, when it talks about hope, especially in the New Testament, what is our hope as followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus, directly or indirectly? It is linked to this matter of resurrection, human physical resurrection, the resurrection of our bodies and what that will usher in. That is our hope. So this morning we want to focus on that. What's your ultimate hope? My ultimate hope, it is resurrection and what resurrection brings in. Think about it. We pray. Many of us think about what we call the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Father, our Father in heaven, may your name be honored, hallowed, May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. God, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom come to this earth. May your kingdom come to human society. May your kingdom come to me, to my life. May you rule and reign. Amen. We're praying for the extension, the coming of the rule and reign of God. Yes, God is reigning, but not fully. God, the extent of God's reign, the realm of God's reign, needs to be extended to cover everything, right? When is the end? The end of the Bible, and what the Bible calls the end, is when God's kingdom has fully come. When God's kingdom fully comes, and God rules and reigns over everything. Every event, every person, every activity is ruled and reigned by under God's rule and reign. And we also pray, Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. We're praying for God's will, the way God wants things to be. Right? You look around you. You read the news. Do you think everything's the way God wants it? No, it's not. Think about it. In this city this year, almost 100 people were killed, murdered. Is that God's will? Absolutely not. There's violence. There's a lot of stuff. There's corruption, oppression, abuse, whatever. Think about it. None of those things is God's will. So when we're praying for God's will to be done, ultimately we're praying for God's kingdom to be fully manifest, to fully come on this earth, and God's will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In God's realm, God's will is done. It's totally done. It's done perfectly. It's done instantly. It's done without opposition. And ultimately, that will prevail on the earth. That's the coming of God's kingdom. When God's kingdom fully comes, God will rule over everything. You want to be there?
Yes.
You want to be there?
Yes.
Imagine all the negative things you see around you, you experience, you know about, they're all gone. The Bible describes that. That is the full coming of God's kingdom. And God, for his people, God has promised you will be there. God's got a place reserved for you. Amen? I'm not talking about some heavenly mansion where you're not going to float on the sky and walk on clouds and play a harp. That's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about the hope for you and I is the full arrival of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. God rules, God reigns, and what that brings. And God wants you to be there. The whole you, not one third of you, two thirds, the whole you, you embodied, body, soul, spirit, everything. Amen?
Amen?
Sorry, I'm ahead of myself. All right. Okay, I'm getting excited. Nigel, calm down. All right. Okay, in the Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament, they saw something of this. They didn't see it fully, absolutely. So they have references in the material to Job, to Isaiah, to Samuel, to etc. Daniel. There are people who caught a glimpse of these things. Okay, let's just pick up one example. Okay, David in Psalm 16. It's a psalm. This psalm is quoted in the New Testament and applied to Jesus. That's right. However, when David wrote it, he was not thinking solely about Christ. King David, right, we're talking 1000 BC, he was going through certain situations, things were happening to him. This is his prayer, this is his expectation, this is his desire. You know, things are going bad, he thinks that maybe his life is going to be terminated, but he says what? My heart is glad. My being rejoices, my body also rests securely. Because why? You, God, you will not abandon me in Sheol. That's the place of the dead, right? They had a realization when you die, you know, parts of you go somewhere. Sheol, Hades, right? You're going somewhere. Okay, but God, you will not abandon me in Sheol, the place of the dead, in Hades. You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You will reveal the path of life to me. You will reveal the path of life to me. God, I'm here, and you care for me. You care for me, so you will be faithful to me. So I'm glad. My being rejoices. Even my body, my flesh rests in hope. Some translations would say, my flesh rests in hope. Why? Because God, you will take care of me. Ultimately, my future depends on you. And you, God, will not leave. You'll not abandon me in Sheol. You'll not leave me in Sheol, the place of dead. But you, right? You will not allow your faithful one to see decay. You will reveal to me the path of life. You'll bring me out of death into life. What is that? Resurrection. I won't stay in the place of the dead. You will bring me into life. David and others had this kind of hope and expectation that God is the God of resurrection, that God can bring the dead to life and restore them. Okay, so a couple of points about this. Number one, the God's ancient people, Abraham, David, etc., through the Old Testament, they believed in a physical, bodily resurrection. They were not just talking about their soul, their spirit, some immaterial part of their being. They also thought, considered, in the Old Testament, people considered people's whole being as one entity. They didn't partition themselves. They didn't divide themselves up. They considered themselves as a whole unit, body, soul, spirit, as one whole being. And they trusted God would take care of their whole being and bring their whole being to where he is. That included bodily, physical resurrection, right? Number two, that was based on what? Based on their belief of God. It was not based on the idea, oh, there's something about intrinsic about humanity, man, that man has an immortal soul, that man in himself has an eternal spark. None of that. It's not a trust in what humans are innately, right? It is a trust in God, that God is the one who's eternal. God is the one who's immortal, and God will take care of my whole being. Amen? They were not Greek philosophers. The Bible is not Plato. It's not Socrates. The Greeks had this idea that, you know, somehow there's something in humanity that's immortal. That's, right? There's the immortal soul of man, and the Greeks thought about the body's a prison. And you go around, your real you is your soul, and that has some immortal element in itself. And when you die, the spirit and the soul departs and is freed. If you're a Greek philosopher, death is your friend. It frees you from the limitation of the body and you fly off somewhere. That's not the Bible. And some people today have the same idea. That's not the Bible. That's not Christian hope that somehow my spirit, my soul will fly off somewhere. No, our hope is God cares for our whole being and God will help, will save our whole being and restore and renew our whole being and recreate our whole being. What is that? That includes resurrection. Amen? Yes. All right. They believe that. Okay. All right. Okay. That's the Old Testament. If you look at those verses referenced in the Old Testament, they believed in resurrection, a future resurrection of God's people, right? Okay, so think about it. When Jesus goes in John chapter 11, he meets Lazarus has died, right? Jesus goes to Lazarus' tomb and Jesus says, you know, your brother Lazarus will rise again. What does Martha say? She says, I know my brother will rise in the last day. She's a good Jewish sister who believes what good Jewish sisters believe. There's a resurrection in the last day. She's right. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Right? Jesus has something more. And yes, Jesus brings Lazarus out of the tomb. That is a sign. Because Jesus, yeah, Lazarus was revivified. He's revived. That is not the final resurrection. Right? That was a sign that Jesus can resurrect the dead. Right? It was not the full thing. It was this, right? It points forward. Amen. Then Jesus comes. Jesus is born at Bethlehem. Jesus lives on the earth. Jesus dies on the cross. And the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. We believe Jesus died. Jesus rose on the third day, physically, bodily, right? That's what we read about. So if you go to those verses, this whole chapter in Corinthians is talking about resurrection, okay? So if we go back to the first part of it, sorry, I have one quote. Let me read it. Sorry, back up to one quote. Okay, here's a quote from a scholar. The ancient understanding of resurrection, many ancient Jews and Christians both, this is common. Israel, Christians, Jews, Christians, many ancient Jews and Christians held that resurrection was a bodily, physical event, that God would raise the dead in their full humanity as a physical, psycho, social unity. What's that? Physical. Physical means physical. Psycho, psychological, right? And social means the people. There's a general resurrection of the dead that will bring together their body, their soul, and bring, right, together. Their scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, spoke of the resurrection of the whole person, body and soul, not simply the survival of some indestructible personal core. The soul, immortal soul, that's Greek. The Greeks were concerned about the soul. They valued the soul, not the body. To them, body bad, soul good, right? No. In the Bible, the body's good, soul is good, spirit's good. It's all good. Amen. Created by God, it's good. And God will restore everything. That's the New Testament. Okay, New Testament teaching on the clearest section is the whole chapter of 15. We're not going to cover everything, some of the things. Paul says in the beginning, I passed on to you, Corinthians, as most important, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, physically, right? The grave was empty, right? According to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, then the 12 apostles. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are alive, some have fallen asleep. Paul lists a series of appearances where Jesus appeared to people. He was not a phantom, ghost. He did not just arise in their hearts. You know, some people have a hard time. They say, you know, oh, the disciples missed Jesus so much. They kind of internalized this thing, and he, and in their hearts, Jesus arose. No, it was not an internal psychological thing. Jesus rose from the dead physically, right? Physically, in a body that could be touched, handled, taste, right, etc. Physical resurrection. It was not external to the disciples. Yeah, he appeared to them and they verified it. They were witnesses, but it was a physical event. Okay, why is that important? Because what happened to Jesus will happen to you. That's the important thing. The New Testament, yes, it's central that Jesus died and rose from the dead. That's central, and that has implications. But we got to get the whole chapter here, and the New Testament teaching is what one main reason why that's important. What happened to Jesus will happen to you. Will happen to me as Jesus rose from the dead with a physical body of the new creation, so will you. So when we Christians say, I believe in the resurrection, we say, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. We also say, I believe in the resurrection. We sing that. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again. Why? Because I believe in the name of Jesus. Right? Think about it. I believe in the resurrection. His resurrection, our resurrection. What's the difference? He's the example. He's the prototype. In the case of Jesus, it's already happened. Right? Our resurrection has not yet happened. Right? And the resurrection of all the believers through Old Testament, New Testament has not yet happened. Right? But it will happen. As it happened with him, it will happen with them and with us. Amen? That's our expectation. Right? So you see, look at yourself. You say, oh, I'm getting more wrinkles. I used to have dark hair. No. Or you may say, I used to have hair. Now I have no hair. Right? I used to have dark hair. Now I have white hair. Okay, at least you have hair. Okay, you know, but okay, that, you know, your hope is not, oh, I want to look young. I want to turn back the clock. But I want to look young again. No. Listen, God will give you a new body. God has prepared for you a new body. Yes, this current body is aging. Yeah, it's et cetera, all that stuff. And it's maybe not getting more handsome, more pretty. All that is true, and you have aches and pains and whatever, whatever, problems, issues. It's all true. God has prepared for you a new body. Amen? Isn't that right? Yeah, and that should affect us how we... All right, so Paul says firstly, okay, secondly, okay, he goes from Jesus to us. That's the second set of verses. 19, yeah, I think we have it. Let's see, verse 19, starting 20. Yeah, thank you. Okay, but Paul was responding to people who said there's no resurrection. He said, if there's no resurrection, we're in trouble. There's no hope, right? But Christ has, he's rebutting that assertion. But Christ has been raised from the dead. Christ the Lord is risen indeed. Ah, okay, that's where it's from. Christ is risen. Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, meaning death. Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the first man, Adam, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man, Jesus. Adam opened the door to sin. Sin brought in death. Death came to the human race, to you, to me. That's what we sin, we die. Okay, that's human history. However, Jesus came. Jesus died for sin. And Jesus brought in resurrection. The resurrection of the dead also comes from a man, Jesus. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So let me ask you, are you in Adam? You're not sure. This phrase, in Adam, means, are you related to Adam? Are you descendant of Adam? Right? The Bible says there's the first man, right? Even DNA, right, says we all came, traced back. We all come back from, right? Whatever. It all goes together. We are... Okay, Adam brought in sin, Adam brought in death, we're all affected, right? When you're born, you look like your father, who looks like his father, et cetera, go all the way back, eventually you get to Adam, what the Bible calls Adam. In Adam, all die. You don't have to do anything, it's going to happen. Physical human death happens, right? However, if this is saying, in Christ... all will be made alive. Everybody in Adam will die. Now, everybody who's in Christ will be made alive. That's resurrection. Just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Amen? Are you in Adam? We're all affected by Adam. Right? Right? You don't have to make a choice. It's the default. It comes to you automatically. However, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ is a matter of choice. Right? You're not automatically in Christ. That's why the Bible says, believe in or believe into Christ. Be baptized. Be baptized into Christ. If you believe in Jesus, if you, right? And baptism represents that. You are in Christ. You're saying, Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. I'm joined to Christ. Okay. If you join Adam, you will die. If we live long enough, none of us will be here. We'll all die physically and be buried. However, if we're in Christ, we will be made alive. Physical human death is not the end. Beyond death, there's resurrection. In Christ, all will be made alive. Amen? Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Then you will be made alive. That's our hope. That's our expectation. If you're in Christ, guaranteed, if you're in Christ, you will be made alive. You will be resurrected physically. God will preserve your spirit. God will preserve your soul. And God will resurrect your body. Right? Not this, and it won't look like this old body. It will be you. It will be you the way you should have been, would have been, could have been. Amen. Think about it. Think about it. It's the way God would create you without sin, without right, all the stuff you've gone through. God will raise you from the dead and give you a new body, right? It's anyway, let me all right. That's what we got to look forward to. Amen. And in that body, with that soul, with that spirit, you will be in God's kingdom. Right? New heaven, new earth, God's kingdom fully come, God's will done on the earth as in heaven. Amen. Okay? All right. So, okay, the new body is in continuity with your present body. It's still you. Paul says, you know, there's a seed, there's a plant. You plant the seed, it becomes a plant. It changes, yet the one becomes the other. There's continuity, but there's change. Okay, when you're buried, when you die and buried, that's the seed. When you're resurrected, that's the plant. You'll be resurrected, right, but changed. Amen? All right, then he describes it. Verse 42, if we go down. Right, verse 42, applying that. Okay, he's seed, plant, you're sown, right? He said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It, our physical body, is sown in corruption. It will be raised in incorruption, sown in dishonor. Right, when you die, your body doesn't look that great. That's dishonor. But raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power, sown a natural soulish body, raised a spiritual body. That doesn't mean it's immaterial, but it's powered by the Spirit. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. This is what we've got to look for. This is how we get to God's kingdom, and God's kingdom will fully come. Amen? Okay. Flip forward to the end of the chapter. It says what? Based on all this, and you have to read the whole chapter for yourself, Paul says, what should we do? Right? And he just make the link, right? Toward the end, he says, just as we have borne the image of Adam, the man of dust, so we will also bear the image of the man from heaven, Jesus. You want to know what the resurrection body looks like? Look at Jesus. How was Jesus when he rose from the dead, when he visited the disciples? How was he? That's what it's like. That's the example. That's the pattern. Jesus could be touched. Jesus could eat. Jesus could be present, right? Okay, all those things. He was recognizable, right? Yeah, he was different, but the same. When your resurrection, you will be recognizable. You'll say, hey, are you Nigel? I'll say, yeah, that's me. You look different. Yeah. Better. Woo! All right. That's our expectation. God has prepared a body for you, made to measure, ready to wear. He's got it. He's, you know, one day you'll get clothed. Okay, you say, what does it look like? I'm not sure. He's got it. He'll take care of it. Okay. All right. Based on that, at the end of the chapter, okay, so how should we, that should affect us today, should affect how we live, what we do, what we choose. Okay, last sentence of the chapter. Therefore, based on all this, my dear brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So in the light of that, realize what we do, how we live, is you got to look at it. What you're doing today, how you live today should be in the light of that, right? And maybe, you know, looking at that, I'm going to be with God, with Jesus, with God's people, new heaven, new earth, everything. Okay, you know, the way we look at things today may be different. The things that bother you today may be pale to insignificance. You say, why am I bothered by that? Why am I offended by that? Because why? I've got this destiny. I'm going to be there. So in comparison to that, this thing is trivial, right? Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're much better. But let me, okay. Sometimes I get things happen and I get offended. I get bothered. The other week I was in the, I walked my dog. I think some of you know. Where is he? Okay, there he is. Okay, I like him. He's been around for 11 years. Okay, I walk my dog and I meet other people. Most of the time there's a good reaction, good chemistry between my dog and their dog. Sometimes there's not. You know, the other week I met somebody, then his dog came towards my dog barking, you know, and I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Then, I said, hey! And I picked up my leg. The guy, the owner said, you touch my dog? I'm going to beat your teeth in. This is called dog rage. You heard of road rage? Now there's something called dog rage. I said, whoa. I said, I didn't touch your dog. I deterred your dog. So, you know, I didn't touch his dog. And then, okay. Now, think about it. Then I was then late. I'm thinking, you know, the guy said he'd beat my teeth in. What? Should I call the police? You know, then you, I think, Kevin, you can sympathize with me. He's got a dog. So, you know, then I'm kind of revisiting that and kind of, that's the problem. See, something gets to you, then you replay it. I should have said, I would have said, next time I see the guy, I'm going to tell him. Da, da, da. You know, okay, you are irritated, you're bothered, you're bent out of shape because this happened. Okay, let me ask you, in the light of the kingdom, is that big? In the light of God's kingdom, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, everything new, resurrected body, whatever, let me ask you, is that worth getting bent out of shape? No. So Nigel, forget it. So I have to tell myself, you know, it's not worth it. Maybe things, people say stuff to you, you know, you're misunderstood, misrepresented, you know, people say stuff and then, you know, okay, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, in the light of God's kingdom, when God's kingdom comes, for which we pray, when God's will is done, for which we pray, when it all arrives fully, completely, absolutely, is what irritates you, bothers you, offends you, is it worth it? The answer is no. And it won't help you. Being irritated, offended, replaying is not going to help you get there. So I think it helps our perspective. Let's look at our life, look at, you know, so maybe the Lord, you know, and then we can Lord say, Lord, help me forget this, overcome this, you know, remove, go beyond this. Then positively, okay, Paul is saying, okay, so brothers and sisters, think about what you're doing. Ask yourself your actions, your activities. What are you doing? Ask yourself. Be always abounding in the Lord's work, knowing your labor's not in vain in the Lord. The things you and I can do, they're not vain. It means they count. What you and I do for the Lord today, in our life, in our work, in our employment, in our serving, in our neighborhood, there's things we can do for the Lord which count. They're going to count there. They count in the kingdom. They count when the kingdom arrives. They are not in vain. You say, what is that? My answer to you is, you ask the Lord. You know, ask the Lord. He's your Lord. He's my Lord. We ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do? What do you want me to do? I want to do things that count. And yeah, for sure, there's things that won't count. They won't have value in the kingdom. There are things that are, Lord, I want to do things, action, do, right, that will count on that day in the kingdom. How about I just pray and we can sing our final song? God, we thank you. You said even eye hasn't seen, ears heard, not heard, were things you prepared for those who love you. But Lord, we thank you. You've given us some idea. You've given us a glimpse of the things you prepared for us. Lord, we want to live our life in that view. We want to go beyond the things that don't count, that the things are trivial in the light of that. And Lord, we want to give ourselves, Lord, show us what counts. And we want to give ourselves, energize us by your spirit, by your power. We could do things that count, do things today that count in your kingdom in that day. We ask you, bless us even as we enter this new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.